Hey everybody, welcome to episode 62 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. I am so happy everybody is with us in the chat here. We're about to
Good morning.
Ohio, everybody.
Good morning.
We can get into Akon mode. Project Akon's coming up. Got to get that vibe going.
In 1 month. I know nobody can see me, but it's in 1 month.
I feel the pain.
Massive tears. So much pain.
Yes, just a couple announcements. We do have several conventions coming up. If anybody has photos or footage from those conventions, you are welcome to send them to us and we can feature them on our webpage. We do have correspondents that go to various conventions for us, and you can join the team. Just give us a contact at podcast@cospod.org. And then our other announcement is that we are still accepting entries for the Best Cosplay Compliments Collection. Please let us know what is the best cosplay compliment you have ever received. We will compile them, and then we will read them in episode 63. If you'd like to remain anonymous, you certainly can. Just let us know. Otherwise, we look forward to hearing all of your guys' responses. We will probably cut off the responses in about a week or so, so that we have time to compile them all together. So other than that, Val, any announcements from you?
No.
All right, then.
I'm ready to get a roundtable started. Let's do it.
All right. Let us go right into the roundtable. As you guys can see on the bottom of our screen, we have several lovely cosplayers joining us today for our roundtable, where we will be answering anything and everything you wanted to know about cosplay. For those watching live, you can actually submit your questions through Google Hangout. We have enabled our Q&A app. Just type in your question, and we will see it in our forum. For right now, I'd like each of our panelists to just take maybe a minute, go ahead and introduce yourself, and then your relationship with cosplay, what it is you do in cosplay. Why don't we start? I will go left to right. So, Danny, 2D Manor.
Oh, goodness. I gotta go first.
You're on the left of my screen.
Oh. Okay, well, my name's Danny, and I'm half of 2D Costuming, which, incidentally, the other part of it is 2D Manor, which is part of the website, which I'm working on right now. I've been doing cosplay since about 2004. My husband, Darium, has been kind of on the heels of that. He started about a year or so later. And we are a little bit in a lull right now. We've had some kind of real-life stuff going on, but we've been doing a lot of stuff on the West Coast, including Fanime and San Diego Comic-Con. And we've even done one shot at World Cosplay Summit, which we're going to try again here next year. And I'm really excited about that. And that's pretty much it. There's really not that much to say. Two people, D names, that's it.
There you go. Next up is Heathery, Mythos Creations.
Oh, I thought we were going left to right.
It's on my screen. This is how you guys are lined up.
I'm last on my screen. Okay. So, hi, I'm Heathery. I am one third of Mythos Creations. I've been cosplaying for 9 years. I live in Oklahoma, so most of the conventions that I go to are Oklahoma, Texas, surrounding states. I just got into cosplay because I like dressing up. What girl doesn't? So, yeah, pretty basic, straightforward.
Fair enough. Welcome. And then Saya Mythos Creations, you're up next.
Hey guys, I'm another third of Mythos Creations, and I've been costuming most of my life. I did a lot of Renaissance and stuff, and then I think in like 2007 I went to my first anime convention and totally loved the over-the-top, crazy, put-in-lights, just fun costumes. So for me, this is just a passion and a hobby. But I also want to tell everybody out there that the other third of Mythos Creations, she's not here today because she just had a baby.
Aww. She's
adorable. She had a baby like a few days ago, so she's not able to join us today.
So. Hopefully mother is doing well.
Yeah, she looks great. She's practically down to her same size just a few days later.
Oh, my goodness.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
All right, well, welcome to you, and congratulations to our newest mother in cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
Pharaoh, you are up next.
Beramon tomoshimasu. No, I'm not going to break out in the Japanese.
Not so early. Too early.
It is too early. Cosplay was kind of a secondary thought for me. I got into it about 10 years ago when I was a really big fan of this card game that is hugely behind me, Yu-Gi-Oh! And it was a Halloween costume at first. I've actually still got my Millennium Puzzle over off the side. And I just wanted to be, like, I wanted to be Yu-Gi-Oh! And then I found out anime conventions exist where there was a bunch of other people who were just as nerdy as I was, and I just kind of never looked back from there. So I've been cosplaying, I guess, over 10 years now. I keep saying 10 years so many times, but eventually it becomes 11, 12, whatever. But I really get a kick out of the hobby, and I think what I think is the best part about it is the passion that everybody displays, the fact that people want to help each other, that it's like a group art, and it's not just kind of like a secret magic show that everyone's trying to pull off. But yeah, that's me in a nutshell, I suppose. Gamer at heart.
All right, welcome to you. Val, we can participate in this. Why don't you go ahead and say a little about yourself for those just joining us for the first time?
If you're joining us for the first time, you already know who I am, so why do I need to say anything? I'm just that awesome. No. Okay, we've been doing this for 2.5 years now. I've been costuming for a little over 6 and slowly getting older and aging and doing it, and I just like dressing up and being a giant dork, and it's awesome.
Yes.
There we go.
That works. Short and sweet. I guess I will do the same. I'm usually known as Amber, but in the cosplay community, I go by Shadowwalker, or Titania Creations now that I have a Facebook page. I'm still learning
Yay,
the social media
got
thing.
Our name.
Yes. I have been cosplaying since I was 16, sewing about that long. I started off doing pillows, and now I make costumes, so take from that what you will. Usually I'm better known in my cosplay escapades for lighting things on fire and making things glow, and I enjoy doing both of those things. Safely. So, there you go.
We need to make that a bumper sticker. I like setting things on fire and making stuff glow.
I have to be careful with that because I'm just waiting for, like, the police officer driving behind me to go, okay, that looks a little suspicious. Let's check her car for bomb-making materials.
That's fine.
Just what I need. I'm driving to Akon with this whole menagerie car Tetris'd to death with all my cosplay material. And I'm like, what are you doing? I teach cosplay.
I set things on fire.
All right. We have had our viewers send in many, many questions, for which we thank you guys for your participation. Why don't we start with one of the more general questions? And since some of these don't say that they're meant to be anonymous, so I will just use first names for right now. And this is from Marcy. And the question is, I'm cosplaying for the first time this year, but I see all these posts about bullying, so I'm afraid. Is there anything I can do about it? Panel?
Grow a thick skin?
It's a rough one to start.
There's nothing you can do about other people's behavior. You just have to work your own, you know?
It's not the easiest question to start with. Jeez.
No, it isn't, but it has been a very, very popular thing in the community lately, especially with Cherry City Comic Con.
Ooh. I don't think I've heard
of that. Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. Well, I think as in every aspect of life, there's going to be bullying, and you've just got to teach yourself how to not respond to it. I mean, you can't make it stop. People are always going to say bad things and mean things, and you've just got to learn to ignore it and move on.
There's the infamous Julie Andrews picture where she's like on the music, and where she, I won't put the exact quote out there, but it's a very much a, look, I do not care. And it's really, I think that's been my, you know, thing for me is that people who won't know me, I don't care what they think. The only people who I care about are people that I care about. And there is a lot of the world that, you know, I don't know them, I don't care, they can think what they want. And I think that's probably, for me, that's the best way to go about it. It's just there's a lot of things of not having time and the patience, and you got other things to do.
Yeah.
And it's just, we waste a lot of stress and effort on someone else's opinion.
That, and if you spend too much time worrying about what other people think, then you're not actually going to enjoy your hobby. You're going to pick characters that you know won't get bullied, and why not pick the characters you love and inspire you and you want to wear regardless of what anybody else says?
I will say also, for me, I mean, it is hurtful sometimes, but at the same time, you have to just kind of forget about it and move on and just realize that it's going to happen and it'll hurt your feelings, but it's not the end of the world, and there are people out there who do love you still.
Exactly. And if it ever gets really severe, if it's online, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, they all have report functions for the cyberbullying that's been kind of a popular function to install. But also, if it's at the convention, besides having like safety and numbers going with friends, you can always talk into the security staff. You know, they have security at these conventions so that you don't get harassed by people for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way that I look at it is, for every one person who makes fun of your costume or tries picking on you, there's like 1,000 people who love your work. So it's just that one person, and you have to understand that there's so many more people who enjoy your work and enjoy just cosplaying in general. So you kind of, after a while, I mean, you really do build up a thick skin over it. You tend to ignore it, and it's like it's just that one guy being a jerk.
Yeah.
Everybody else loves it, so it's just that one guy.
Why bother? Bitter party of one? Bitter?
Yeah. Exactly.
You mad, bro?
See, if the conventions didn't ban signs, I'd want to carry a sign that said that around. You mad, bro?
Slash that. Put a button
like right here. It says, "You mad, bro?" There you go.
It's part of my costume. It's totally supposed to be there. I promise.
All right, next question is from Brian, and I think this is the one we probably should have started with. My bad.
Not so happy.
How did you get into cosplay?
Easy question.
It is an easy question. I know I started by sewing in home ec class, and then I went to Scarborough Fair and was like, dude, I want a costume like that, and I'm in high school, and I don't have $200 for a really nice costume. I should learn how to sew. And I did.
Mine was Halloween. My parents were religious and didn't allow me to dress up for Halloween, so as soon as I turned 18, I was like, costumes, and how can I wear them all year round? Oh yeah, medieval fair, I should look into that. Then it all went from there.
I think I was around the same process as you know, just started out sewing in home ec, and then, you know, Halloween came along, and it was just kind of these, like, for fits and starts of, like, other stuff besides the convention stuff. And then in, you know, like, 2004 was when I went to actually my first, like, convention where I actually dressed up. And the thing was, it was Costume Con, which, for those who know costuming and that, it's one of the, you know, it's one of these very, a lot of people who with a lot of really high talent go to these. They've been doing it for years and years and years. And I remember being, you know, told, it's like, are you sure you don't want to just observe first? I'm like, no, let me put something on and let me go and go and do.
Yeah.
Jump that in. I already said why I got into cosplay, but I think what keeps me cosplaying is probably a lot of the energy. Like, at first, that first year of cosplay, it was just Yugi, and I was just happy with that. But you start to see more and more cool designs and other people, like, come up with, I guess, creative solutions to problems you never knew existed, like defying gravity and those weird Trinity blood. Oh, I think it's Seth is the character that has, like, the ring that floats behind the back, not hooked up to anything. And when you see stuff like that, you just can't help but jump in and want to do something like that, too. So.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that I was more along, like, the classic convention-goer line. Like, a friend invited me to go to Anime Weekend Atlanta, and she's like, did you know that people wear costumes at these things? I was like, are you serious? For real? So I started looking at pictures, and I'm like, some of these costumes are, like, pretty amazing. Even back then, you know, there was still some really cool costumes. Of course, nothing like there is today, but I was like, I have to do this too, because I love attention.
See, that's an honest cosplayer. Some people are like, no, I don't do it for the attention. I just want to dress up. And it's like, no, you're dressing up.
Yes, we do.
Bright green hair. You're getting attention.
Be honest about it.
Just embrace that you want attention.
Everybody knows it. Why not admit it?
Exactly. Don't hide. I think for me, it started off when there was a Halloween party at work. And I went to a party city, and I just saw the wall, and I was like, man, all these costumes suck. Because all the options for women are just non-existent, or they're sexy costumes. And I was like, I don't want to spend $60 on a piece of polyester that's going to fall apart Yeah, exactly. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to go and make my own costume, and I've been sewing since I was 12 years old, and then it just kind of went from there, and I was like, I love this, I'm going to keep doing this.
Mm-hmm. Party City does not sponsor this podcast.
Yeah, it definitely does not. I'd be having spirit gum for the rest of my life if I could get that.
All right, this question is from Mitch, and it says, I don't know where to make a costume. Can you tell me how, or a website? Which I assume he means website where I can either learn to make one or buy one.
Yeah.
There are so many. Especially now. There's so many tutorials out there, and where do you begin there?
There's actually a cosplay tutorial Facebook group now, where all they do is post cosplay tutorials.
Oh, wow.
And there's also a website called cosplaytutorials.com, and it is probably the largest collection of tutorials I've ever seen anywhere on the internet. It's probably like a Google-like repository. It's awesome.
Wow. I didn't know that. Way back in the day when I was starting, you'd have to spend an entire day searching through just to find one tiny thing. This is how you resin cast, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They had tutorials back in the day. Some of these things didn't have tutorials.
Oh, yeah. Man, the tutorials that did exist were like, step one, buy materials. Step two, this is one progress picture I took. Step three, it's done. That looks beautiful.
Exactly.
Back in the day when we started out, we just poured 1,000 things and was like, that didn't work, that didn't work, that didn't work, that worked. Trial and error.
Yeah, and now it's just almost like you can search anything in Google, and there you go, you're done.
Yeah. Deviant Art and cosplay.com are still pretty active if you're just trying to find a community of people who just want to do costumes. And then I know that cosplay.com, you go to the anime section and it breaks it down by costumes, not costume series. So maybe if you're really into a specific show, you can click there and just see other people talking about how do you do this, or I want to do that, or I'm excited, and you just kind of feed off that energy.
Yeah, see, the new thing now is Facebook groups. Facebook groups are the huge thing now, and I've just recently joined the Borderlands and the Mass Effect groups, and I'm just holy crap, all these people with all these references and giving free info on how to make armor. Dang, okay, I'll just stay here for a while. I mean, that seems to be the new thing now.
Yeah. Heather, you were going to say something?
I was going to say also YouTube. I mean, there's videos for everything. I know, even a couple of years ago, I was how do I do a blind hem stitch? And I just went on YouTube, and there's 500 videos for even something as obscure as that. I mean, you can search, how do I make movable wings? There's 20 videos for that, so, which I think is more helpful than reading, because I like to watch things being done, but that's also, a possibility, so.
Mm-hmm. And some of those YouTube videos are getting really professional now. It's not just kid with webcam in their house, this is a production.
Yeah.
Also, two other sites for those who are making armor. I highly recommend therpf.com. Yes, it is mostly Iron Man and Pepakura based, but they do cover, the basics like Evafoam, Bondo, using Sintra, Warblown, Wonderflex. They're very well covered in their forums. And also instructables.com. A little bit more of a basic website, but for things like making movable wings, they have tutorials on those. So you may just glance around and something may strike your fancy. I love both websites. Anybody have any resources for purchasing costumes? I don't purchase my costumes, so I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know either.
Use eBay with caution.
Definitely use eBay with caution. One of the things is, if a wig seems way too affordable for its own good, it probably is, because the less it costs, the less hair it has, the less thickness, the less you can do with it. But that's just kind of wig buying. I don't know if that's really pre-made costumes. Japan does a lot of custom costume shops that, if you're afraid of going to the Chinese eBay distributors that all somehow have the same reference image. Mm-hmm. What is it, Cospa? I can never remember.
Yeah, there are a couple of those, but you are going to end up paying a little bit more because it's not the Chinese shops. I mean, it's a tick-for-tack thing. It's how much you pay depends on the quality of the costume. The less you pay, your costume's probably not going to last a while longer. So it's really buyer beware, and take your time and research as much as possible. If you see the same image on 20 websites, it means it's probably not the image you want to go with. Try to find somebody else.
Also, be very aware of measurements, because usually what the measurements they provide are like centimeters. We tend to think of ourselves, at least in the U.S., in inches. So be aware of what your measurements are and what the measurements are, especially on the pre-made stuff, because the pre-made stuff may very well, you may fit it in one place, but it may not fit somewhere else. You may need to still alter it. So, you know, be aware of what your measurements are, be aware of what the measurements that they're telling you, and also be aware that most of those costumes are being made for people who, on the average, are smaller. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we always think is like if you think that you're a medium, chances are in those sizes you're probably a large, maybe even an extra large, depending on how they cut.
Also, I'm not sure if everybody knows this who, you know, is new to the hobby, but if you're using like a commissioner who's a cosplayer, him or herself, you can go on cosplay.com and they have a section of their forum that has reviews by other people who have used that commissioner. And that way, I mean, if someone has, like, a lot of good reviews, then you can obviously, instead of going with a website that, you know, may or may not get the right fit, you can go with a commissioner that'll do it to your actual size. So that's probably better. I mean, I think it probably costs more, but as far as quality goes, you're probably going to get a better end result. It fits mm-hmm. better.
That's what it boils down to. You get what you pay for.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, next question, and this was sent in anonymously. And this is, do I have to be in a costume to go to a convention?
No way.
No.
No, but it makes it a lot more fun.
Yes.
I think that's pretty much the short answer. No, but it's a lot more fun.
If you're curious about costumes, you can always go once just in civvies and see what people do, and then you can go the next one. You don't have to go to, I mean, there's been conventions I've gone to. I call it stealthing. It's like I just come in, I'm wearing my civvies, and nobody knows the wiser.
Exactly. Like normal mode. Okay.
Because nobody knows how we look outside of costumes.
Exactly.
That's your final form.
That was an awesome meme, too. All right. And so our next question, how do I get a good photo of my costume at a con?
Network. With photographers.
Mm-hmm. Don't try to take pictures in the hallway with 20 people standing behind you.
Or in front of you.
Or in front of you.
Or in front of you.
Or in your hotel room.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Well, this is the selfie.
The bathroom selfie, right before you leave. Oh, man.
There's nothing worse than a picture of a really good costume with somebody's dirty laundry laying on the hotel bed behind you.
No, bad.
If you buy a halfway decent camera, then you can just have your friends take your pictures, and they're going to turn out good. Because, I mean, and I say this as a photographer, and a lot of people will disagree with me, but half of your photo is the photographer, the other half is the camera. So if you have a good camera, you're going to get at least a halfway decent photo, just because of the camera itself, even if they're not superb in using it. So enlist your friends.
We've gotten good photos with an iPhone before just because we kept tweaking it, like, no, turn to the left, no, suck in, now this, now go into the light. Good, got it.
Yeah, I actually know a couple photographers who have their big hulking cameras, but sometimes they'll just pull their phone out and just play with that, and they have an entire series of cosplay photos where they took with just their phone, and it's just as good as the $2,000 model camera. I mean, when you have a good photographer who knows what to do, you can get fantastic photos. And I think a lot of the time it's pretty easy to spot the person with the nice big shiny camera. And I have had sometimes people come up and be like, hey, can you take a photo of us? I mean, I know that sounds kind of silly, but why not? A lot of times photographers will say, sure, you're right there, I'm right here, let's get it done. I mean, photographers want to shoot people, and sometimes they're nervous talking and asking for it too. So take that initial step and say, hey, I want a photo, take it.
Or just, you know, find their Facebook page and private message them before the convention. Say, hey, I'm going to be at this con that you're going to be at. Would you mind, you know, setting up 30 minutes to take some pictures of my costume?
So. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, usually, as far as the Facebook element goes, there's a lot of, like, group shoots that people organize. Like, hey, let's all the Pokemon cosplayers get together and, like, do some sort of wacky photo shoot. And then usually have the photographers come there anyway, so it's just kind of like this wonderful gathering that stems from itself. So.
I don't think enough is said to new cosplayers about proper posing and costume, which they don't know any better. But if you really want a good photo of your costume as opposed to an okay photo of your costume, it's dorky, but it's also good to practice posing in front of a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, go look for reference pics of your character. Figure out, you know, most characters have a couple of signature poses. I mean, not everybody does this. But if that's what your character does, then that's what your character does. And then you have to do that yourself in front of a mirror and figure out how to make it work with your body shape, because we know our bodies pretty well at this point of our lives. You know if you have certain flaws that you want to hide in a picture, and so you need to think about that whenever you're having a photographer take your picture. And Heathery actually has a great idea with getting friends to take your picture, because you can actually do a practice run before the convention, have those friends take your picture in your costume so that you can see how you look from the other end of the lens, not just in a mirror, but actually on the photo itself. And I think that's really helpful.
Yeah. And most hotel rooms have the mirrored closet doors, and that's our thing. We'll get dressed, and then we'll stand in front of the mirror, and we'll do poses and critique each other until we've got 3 or 4 good poses to do for pictures when we're asked. Mm-hmm. So we're not, you know, bending over and something looks, you know, funky or whatever.
Right, plus these pictures are going up on the internet, where they will never disappear. And you want yourself to look good in these photos because everybody and their brother can see them, including your work if you happen to have a full-time job.
Yeah.
There is a reason why I don't use my real name online.
Yeah, exactly.
Mine too. What do you know?
Not that my work necessarily care, but still, you know.
Like, it's a nice little buffer, especially since more companies are cracking down about people doing things outside of work, and it's like, okay, now I really have to separate the life. Thank guys.
All right. Next question is from Dizzy, and it says, I've been told by friends that I can't wear an anime costume to a Comic Con, but I don't have anything else to wear. Would it be a problem to wear it? It's Maka from Soul Eater.
Wear it.
Do it.
Wear it. Do it. Don't
do it. Who makes these rules? Like, no one cares. I mean, no one cares. Seriously. No one's going to say anything to you.
Rules.
And those who do care, they're just jelly. They're mad.
They only care online. They're not going to walk up to you at the convention and be like, hey, why are you wearing that animu at my Comic-Con?
And if no they do, you say, because.
Exactly. There's a stormtrooper at every convention.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the last convention I was at that was anime only, quote unquote. Doctor Who everywhere. Stormtroopers everywhere. Hannibal Lecter, House MD. You know, all of these sound like great anime titles. But
I saw somebody doing Flo, the progressive insurance lady, at an anime convention.
That's cute.
I took her picture. She looked great.
I've seen Bob Ross a couple of times, so it's just like, you know, why does it matter? So it's an anime convention, and there's no limits on what you can wear. Wear whatever you want, as long as it's legal.
A lot of conventions are starting to become kind of all cons, to where any fandom is welcome, and I think that you can go with that. So if you want to wear a non-sequitur costume at your given convention, I mean, when you go to Scarborough Fair, there are stormtroopers, there are Native Americans, there are Zeldas and Lynx. We've seen Ninja Turtles at TRF. So, quite frankly, just tell the other people who don't like it to shove off and do what you want to do because you're a fan.
I agree.
Absolutely. And you actually might get more attention if you're the only anime character at a comic book convention.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go, more photos.
And we've already discussed
that. And you draw out the fans.
Right.
You draw them out. Because they're hidden that way.
And along the lines of photography, the next question says, I don't know if I want to be photographed. Can I say no for pictures?
Yeah.
I think it kind of boils down to yes.
You can't. Yes, you'll have people that may kind of like, I've seen more than once where like I'll have one person who asks, I pose for them, and then you get 10 other people that will just come by with their camera and go click. So you may not be able to stop anybody from photographing you completely, especially if they're doing it from a distance. But you, if someone asks you and you just you're not for it, you can say, hey, sorry, I can't do it right now. Maybe I can get back to you later. Or can I just run over here to the bathroom real quick and then I'll come back out and I'll be right back. Just wait right here. Anything like that. You know, but you know, if you're just not up for it, just say, sorry, no, I'm not up for it.
I forget what convention it was on the West Coast recently, but I think two cons somewhere just recently just banned photography. No professional looking cameras at all.
WizardCon was one of them.
Wizard World did that.
It's hard to stop people, and just like you said, if they're snapping a picture from afar, and there's that whole cosplay is not consent movement, a lot of times people don't want to be, you know, shattered in flashes or whatever. So, gosh.
Some people just want to dress up and run around with their friends, and that's okay. You can totally have the right to say no. There's nothing wrong with that.
You have the right to say no, but I know that I had a gentleman trying to take pictures of me while I was bending over and digging through a bag. And I was just like, if you want a picture, I'll pose. And he goes, I don't want you to pose. And Heather, he probably remembers it was Anime Fest like 4 years ago. And I was like, well, I would prefer not having bad pictures on the internet. And he goes, well, you're in public. I have the right to take a picture. And I didn't believe him, but I Googled it. And the state law of Texas says that when you're in public, they have a right to photograph you.
Yep.
You don't. Your consent doesn't matter, and that was kind of shocking. Because then I was like, "Well, I'm not going to be digging through my bag in public. I'm going to go to the restroom." And I don't know. It was kind of shocking that that's the law.
Yeah, in each state, it's a little bit different. So kind of sexy to read up on it. But at the same time, I'm a videographer in my free time, so it's like, I like that law. That law means I can get work done. It's polite to ask, but I know people are not always going to ask, so you just do what you can. But you do have the right to say no, and most people will respect that and keep walking.
Most do. He's the only one in whatever, 8, 9 years I've been doing this that just did it without my consent and was in my face about it.
And so that's pretty good. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, high score.
All right, so we've got next question. Am I going to be picked on for buying my costume?
If you are, that person sucks.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yes, you are going to be picked on, and that's just because there are people like that in the world.
Yeah.
Everybody cosplays for different reasons. Some of us like to make it all and compete. Some of us just want to run around with our friends. It doesn't matter what your reasons are. You have a right to do it, and so if somebody's doing that, classify them in the bully category, and what was it Danny said?
The only place that's really going to matter is when you're competing in a costume competition, you probably don't want to enter with a bought costume because typically that's taking credit for someone else's work, and they look down upon that. But other than that, it's really not going to be an issue. So
most people don't care.
Yeah.
Now, plus, you're cosplaying. Isn't that all that matters?
I lie about it, but I don't care if you make it, buy it, borrow it, whatever. It's your life.
Yeah, you do how you want to do it. You cosplay your way. And it could be that you may not be great at making costumes, but you're awesome at making props or armor. So you'd rather buy the costume and then just add the armor on top of it. That's fine. Go for it. Who's going to stop you? It's your money.
Yep. This used to be a very permissive culture. It's all about joining in and everybody patting you on the back and saying, yay! And now it's like, you didn't make that. Or, duh. It's just crazy. It's gotten bad.
It's so backwards. We should be loving each other. We get so much crap in the real world. Why are we bringing it into our cons? Just
I know.
Love each other and be respectful, damn it.
Yeah.
We need to take our culture back.
Good luck with that.
It's still my culture. I just accept it. It's more like high school now than it ever was.
Yeah. Here we are getting
high school.
I know. It's like, okay, we're aging. We're way past the high school stages.
We're aging backwards. We age backwards.
Oh, I wish.
Please tell me we're aging backwards. I want to.
put on the brakes, stick it in rewind.
Nice.
All right, here's a good question for you guys, all being famous cosplayers. The question is, I'm too intimidated to talk to well-known cosplayer. How do I talk to him or her?
Like a human being? We're human, too.
We're not famous? Where did that, where'd that memo come from?
There's
no people.
Yeah.
There's nothing different about us. Nothing.
But keep in mind, like, keep the understanding that they might have been approached by, like, 300 people, 1,000 people, whatever, in one day. And so try to find a logical way to introduce yourself or run into them or whatever. Don't be, like, bursting in the middle of a conversation they might be having with private friends, you know, stuff like that. Because in the same way, you would want someone to do that to you.
In the bathroom?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good idea.
The internet is a good way to introduce yourself. If you can't necessarily, if you're not comfortable with just approaching somebody online, you can always, you know, try to do it a little bit beforehand. You know, if they're on Twitter, if they've got a public Facebook page, you know, go like their page and go interact with them in that area. And then by the time you go to a convention that they're at, then you can go up and say, "Hi, I'm so and so." I mean, that being said, I mean, I have complexes going up to people like that even after I've talked to them forever online, but that's just me. But it could be a good icebreaker to start that online interaction first. Then when you get to a con, you can extend that further and say, "Hey, I'm this person." And they'll be like, "Oh, yeah, I've seen you online." And then then there's at least that start there.
Mm. Just don't be creepy about it.
Yeah. Yes, creepy bad.
I will say this as well. I mean, and it's I kind of feel the same way, but I know that sometimes people will say to us, "I didn't want to come up to you because you looked busy." Well, if we're at a convention, we're not really busy unless we're, you know, doing a panel or, you know, something else. But if we're just walking around, we're not busy. And, you know, just because we might not be smiling, we might be talking to each other, that doesn't mean we don't want to talk to anybody else. You know, I don't know. I think a lot of it's body language, and some people, me included, we just aren't good at showing, like, you know, an outgoing body language. But it doesn't mean we don't want to talk to you, so.
I think that can be a very intimidating factor. And mm-hmm. I know for me, for the longest time when we first started this show, it was such a huge hurdle for me to get over the fact that, okay, now we're talking to cosplayers that are really well known. How do I say hi to them and we want to interview them? And yeah, once you get over the hurdle that, hey, everybody's still a human being, then it's actually pretty easy to go up and say hi.
Thing that's the hardest part is you have to get over the hurdle of fame.
Yes.
Underneath the makeup and the costume, we all look terrible when we get out of bed in the morning.
Yes.
This requires effort.
Yes, we're all standard people. You know, we all have to scoop the kitty box. We all have to do laundry. We all take care of those things. We have to go to our day job. We're standard people. Even those of us who are famous on the internet, we're still normal people when we are not on the internet.
The internet is the only place we might be famous in.
There you go.
If you're gonna come.
There we go. All right. Here is a good question that I hear asked a lot. Do I have to wear a wig with a costume?
It's easier in some cases, but it's not necessary. Anything. Just depends on the hair and the character, I think.
I tend to think that wigs look a little better just because most anime hair is much bigger than natural hair can be. Mm-hmm. But I've seen people who pull off the short hairstyles really perfectly.
Wigs are convenient, though. I mean, they are always the same every time you put them on. I mean, unless you've, like, damaged them or messed them up or something. There are people who really want that natural hair look, like they have to be the character, they got to dye the hair or whatever, and for people like that, I think that it's fine for what they do, but you just have to keep in mind you're going to have to really, like, you know, put the work into your hair every single time you wear the costume.
And it can take
when you get out.
Oh, yeah.
The costume I did at San Diego Comic-Con, I used my natural hair, but it involved me braiding my hair up wet the night before and walking around at Comic-Con with a bandana on my head all day while my braids were drying. So that was not fun. So that's why, you know, if I ever do that costume again, I'm getting a wig online, and that's what I'm going to go with. It's just too hard otherwise. It takes way more effort.
Yeah, I would say that at least with the wig, you have the same style all the time because your hair can do crazy things one day and then be totally normal the next day. Like, I know sometimes I wake up and it's frizzy for no reason, and that can be really hard to maintain for a costume all day long, whereas with the wig, you just leave it be, it'll do its thing. So I think in that case, having a wig is better, but it's not necessary. If you want to have your natural hair, go for it.
Another thing that I noticed, too, and, I mean, maybe it's just self-consciousness on my part, but I know that whenever I have, like, my crazy cosplay makeup on, it only looks good when I have a wig on. Like, as soon as my wig comes off, I just look horribly, like, gaudy, and, like, I know if I just use my actual hair, like, my makeup would just look so bad, so I have to use a wig with my cosplay makeup.
I agree.
100% agree there.
Plus, it kind of helps add to the realism of your character. And if you're cosplaying to portray a character, then you need to portray that character. And if they have, you know, X color hair that, and you're not willing to dye your hair, you probably need to consider a wig, and preferably a good quality wig, because it shows when you have a bad quality wig on your costume. No offense to people, but we can tell. If we look at your wig, we can tell if it's a quality wig.
No offense, but we know.
And when you're new, I mean, especially when I started out, I didn't know any better. I had no clue about wigs, so I went up to a con and didn't realize, oh, hey, I can actually have my hair that color and not dye it. What do I need to do? Where do you go? So you just don't know, and I think now with cosplay becoming more and more mainstream, people are realizing, oh, okay, I guess the wig is kind of the normal thing now. But not necessary, but it helps.
Wigs are remarkably affordable now, actually, from what they used to be. And the quality is a lot better, even from the major wig manufacturers, so it's a lot more accessible to most people to have
them. Domestic to boot. I mean, sometimes it would take like 2 weeks or so for something to come over from overseas, and now we've got domestic wig sellers, so that helps a lot as well.
There's also there's a lot of wig sellers at cons that I've noticed, too, that have been popping up, where at least 10 years ago you had to bring your own wig. Nowadays you can just find it at the con if you need one.
Pre-styled in some cases.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, next question. Is makeup important? Why should I wear makeup? And what if I'm a guy?
Yes, wear it.
Yes. Always wear it.
Always.
If you're a guy.
Especially
if nothing else than for skin improvement.
So all about photography. You will look fleshed out. Your eyes will look small. Your face will look flat. If you don't have makeup, you're going to keep asking yourself, why don't my photos look as good as I thought they would? Well, give yourself some eyeliner. All of a sudden, your eyes actually show up in the pictures. Mm. It looks good.
Or even little things like most of us who have oily skin. You're really shiny when you're in photo, and it's just a little bit of powder to clean it up, and you're magically a million times better.
Mm-hmm. Or you use a little bit of bronzer to give yourself a chin so that
exactly
you out. Things like that.
Or like to give yourself, you know, for especially for folks that are doing cross-dressing, you know, if you want to, if you're a girl to begin with, you're trying to make yourself look like a guy, makeup helps to change the angles of your face to where they look more, you look more masculine, or in the case of a guy, to where you look more feminine.
Mm-hmm. Makeup isn't just meant to hide flaws, and I think people may get that misimpression. It's meant to also highlight certain features of your face. So if you put makeup on your eyes, it's you're trying to play up your eyes. If you have foundation, it's to give you a smooth palette so that you can contour your cheeks. So it's for both reasons. It's to help hide flaws in photos and to highlight certain features that you want to be seen in photos and hide others.
Farrell, can you only speak in the room. I have to say, the only guy in our chat room, he's got to say
exactly
something.
Farrell, can you speak to makeup about that?
Cosplay essentially taught me to wear makeup everywhere. So, like, now it's, like, job interview, makeup. And it's for the same reasons you were mentioning. Your skin has a nice even coat to it. You're not sweating. You're not shining, anything like that. I use it for podcasts. I use it for cosplay. But I think with cosplay in particular, it's better because it does just make all the photos come out evenly. And I think, you know, when you're trying to portray an anime character, if you've got the wig, makeup, and I think the third part of that trifecta is the contacts, which can be expensive, and not everybody has eyes that are compatible with that, but it does just give you that glossed over, like, anime character look that you were not, we're not born anime characters. You know, people do not have 14.8 millimeter irises, and if they do, wow, okay, doll eyes. But yeah, it just, it every little bit helps. And the other thing that's really important is scientifically, you're programmed to find faces. So when you look at the front of a car, if you look at the headlights and the grill, all of a sudden it's a little smiley face, especially the little Toyotas that look like bunnies. If you look at the moon, you see the man in the moon. You're always looking for faces. Like, even in this, I want you to look down, look down. I'm going to make direct eye contact with the camera. Everybody look down. Yeah. And now look up and try not to see my eyes. And try to, like, look at my face and not go, like, straight up into the face and the eyes. And you can't. I mean, and you might be able to do it for just a second, but we're programmed to see faces, and that's why makeup is important. That's why the wig hairline is important, which kind of segues to our next question. And then that's why the eyes are so important, because we're people, and we look for other people. We look for faces. So why wouldn't you wear makeup? I mean, it's not – there's nothing wrong with it. So sorry, yeah. I exploded in that one.
No, that was the money.
And I think we would all agree that you should probably invest in quality makeup.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying go to Sephora or anything like that, but especially if for no other piece of the puzzle, for the foundation, because that's the, one of the things that sits on your skin first, and it's the baseline for everything else. I've gone cheap on eyeshadow. I've gone cheap on some other stuff, but foundation, that's a place where you want to indulge a little bit, because it's like your moisturizer. It's like it's so intimate and so integral on your face that how it reacts will make everything else either really, really good, or it will make it a wrap.
Invest in a good primer. That way your makeup lasts all day at the convention. A primer is so underrated, and it's so important. Like, you definitely need primer for a convention. Mm-hmm.
They say, ladies and gents who do any type of face paint, get primer. Oh, my God. It's, like, the best thing ever.
And also, at the end of the day, yes, you need to remove your makeup. You shouldn't sleep in it. Yes, you can. Hotel staff may not be happy with your pillowcases in the morning. But for health reasons as well, to make sure that your pores can breathe, when you're done, please remove your makeup using makeup remover. Or just soap and water and, you know, scrub.
Remove, wash, tone, and moisturize.
Yes.
That's the routine I go through every night. Even when I'm not at con, I go through that, because it's so good. It keeps your skin clean. It keeps your skin moist, especially if you have dry skin. It takes away the impurities, and at night is the worst time to have all that crap on your face.
All right, and then final question here, and this is from Jessica. This is the wig question. My pet peeve is looking at someone in costume, and you can see their hair under the edges of the wig. And there is no hairline on the wig, so it's obvious they have on a wig. So, what is the best way to add a hairline to a wig?
Use a lace front.
Lace front helps immensely.
Big time.
Lace front wigs are
the answer.
Essentially, it's basically there's just a little bit of lace on the front, and there's additional strands of wigs are plastic, so it's kind of like a think of like fishing line. Imagine hooking additional threads through these through the netting back, and so that makes a more natural hairline that just kind of pokes out. Mm-hmm. If you're doing one of the more like really intense ponytail characters, I'm thinking like Sabin and Edgar from like Final Fantasy VI.
Oh Lord!
You can weft in, and you might. As we were talking about cosplay tutorials, look up wefting tutorials. You can weft in hair from underneath the wig and then pull everything back, and that's how you get that amazing slick back look, because it just looks like you're pulling the hair back. With the lace wigs, Arda, there's a bunch of great companies that have it. They're producing it basically with all of that underneath hair already added in. And we didn't used to have that back in the cosplay days, but it's becoming more and more convenient to just be like, I need a blue lace front wig. Bam, it's there.
I think I've
no additional needs necessary, so.
Yeah, the last wig that I did, it's basically like a half a wig, because I had half a bald cap going on at the same time, so I couldn't really just chop down the middle of the wig, because you would see all these weird fibers stand out. It wouldn't look natural. I basically had to take all of those wefts, sew it in literally backwards, and then pull the hair over so it looked like a natural hairline. And the easiest way, is just as Pharaoh said, is just Google how to sew in wefts, and there are a ton of tutorials on how to make your own fake hairline, and they work for almost anything, even from the back of the wig, too, so.
And
Google.
You always need to remember to weft this hairline.
Yes.
Yes.
Everybody always goes right for this hairline, but...
And yeah, especially with ponytail stuff.
I'm doing it right now. So.
Yeah.
And for those of us that have really obvious sideburns right here, like all this, well, you may have to consider shaving it,
yeah.
Cutting it off. Yeah, sometimes there really is a better way to do it.
I know a couple of people, what they'll do is they'll take like the white school glue sticks, glue it down, and then they'll paint over it with like either body paint or acrylic paint. So that's another option too. It washes out pretty easily.
Okay.
Yeah, so just remember that that's also something you have to consider is this part right here. The little miniature wefts here.
Little lamb chops.
Yeah.
If you're skeptic about painting it over, the Joker from the old 60s Batman cartoons, or not Batman cartoon, the live action show, has a huge mustache, and all they did was just cake over that and makeup.
Oh, yeah, they just went...
Like, he refused to shave, so it worked.
Wow. Actually, along those lines of painting your hair, I'd like to pose this question to the panel, since I know this is asked by beginners a lot. How do you color your eyebrows?
Eyeshadow. I use eyeshadow and I love it.
I've just tried to find like regular like eyeliner that you would use like under your eyes, because just have to be really careful about sealing it. But that's what's worked for me, and it seems like it's the least. The one thing that always bugs me is if it sees that like it looks like it's just. It's hard to explain the look, but it looks like it's just kind of caked in there, and that kind of makes me go, ugh, gross. So for me, if I find an eye, and especially nowadays since there's a lot more eyeliners that are different colors, if I can find an eyeliner that's close, it doesn't have to be exact, I'll use the eyeliner to augment the color of my existing brows and then try to seal it up.
I've seen a lot of Japanese cosplayers, they just, and you may not want to do this because it is very permanent, but they just shave the whole thing off and just draw it back in, whatever color it needs to be that day. Reika does that, actually. Yeah. It's a great example.
Well, eyebrows. Ben Nye Cosmetics is going, they make a white mascara, and you can use that and then take whatever color of eyeshadow you want your eyes and dust it in the mascara while it's wet, and it works really well. It's not too chunky, it's not too, you know, blocky or obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And your hair is still separated, it's not all glued together either, so.
That works too. And I know there's a lot of people who will do the school glue on the eyebrows as well, and then cover them up, and then color them with, you know, color of your choice. So you will probably have to cover them up first before doing these things, unless you do the white mascara. I've used paint myself in the past.
I know so many people who do acrylic paint, so I'm just like, okay.
You can get it in any color under the sun. You can custom mix your shades. Plus, it's usually non-toxic, and it's very washable. All you need is just a wet washcloth and just...
I still think you all are crazy, but you know.
I used to do the acrylic paint on my eyebrows, and, I mean, it does wash off very easily, and you don't lose hair or whatever, but... I just always felt like it looked too blocky and fake and not like real hair. It looked more like I just put some plastic on my eyes. It's always really thick, too. Like, you have these big like caterpillars on your eyes. So
it can, yeah.
Recommend.
So the next trend in cosplay is that somebody comes up with, you know, stick-on eyebrows that are pre-colored.
That would be awesome. Oh, my goodness.
Bye-bye.
Pre-colored, pre-styled.
Epic cosplay and art.
All I want is a 20% of the profits or maybe a credit.
All of our wig makers need to get on that. Now start selling them as kits along with your wigs. Dyed to match eyebrows to go with the wigs.
Just trim them.
Wow.
Well, they'd probably do what they do with the wigs and just sell them long so that you can trim them as needed.
Like,
oh my gosh.
They'll sell eyebrow wefts.
Wow.
Little lace front eyebrows.
Yeah, there we go.
Wow.
Oh, man.
And eventually we're going to be dyeing our, you know, there's going to be, like, the set for, and you're going to make lashes to match, too. So.
Oh, yeah, of course. All hair must match.
For the guys, they'll do mustaches and beards.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That would be great. We need more of those. I am all on board for that.
Yes, no more Sharpie beards. We need actual real beards.
Literal beards, yes, please.
All right, free marketing tip from us to all of the synthetic hair manufacturers. Do this. You will make a ton of money.
We'll buy your stuff.
All right.
Take my money.
All right. Anything else to add to our roundtable, guys?
Any other amusing tips for newbies?
Just do it.
Just do it, yeah.
It's fun. You'll love it.
Once you do it, you can't go back. Yeah.
There's no return.
There's no
the
return from the madness.
All go forward.
And eventually you'll get to the point where you start having, like, you take 12 costumes to a con, and then your whole car is full of cosplay stuff, and all you do is you take all your stuff to the con.
Or you have closets full of cosplay stuff.
My car just got upgraded recently. I can put all the things in it now. It's not like my little bug. Barely.
All the things!
You'll find yourself saying, you know, I really need a craft room. I think I need to move out of this apartment just so I can put all my cosplay stuff in a craft room.
Val, have I not been saying that for the last 3 months?
I know. I need a craft room so badly.
I love my craft room. It's so comfy.
Me too. I love mine too.
we're looking to move possibly here in the next few months, and one of the criteria is there a garage attached? Because I'm so frustrated that our kitchen turns into where all the messy things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I'm like, we gotta put that outside.
The bathtub in my guest bath is blue from all the wig dyeing I've done.
Nice job.
They spend the night and they're like, what did you do in your spare bathroom? And I was like, oh, that was the Harvest Goddess wig. It was a lot of wet. It took a long time.
That was awesome. All right, we will bring this roundtable to a close. Thank you, everybody, for participating. Thanks to 2D Manor Costuming, Mythos Creations, and Pharaoh for joining us today. and Potters, we will see you next episode. Happy cosplay, as always.
Bye!
Take care.
And just do it.
Oh.